Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
have the opportunity to give to the healing ministry. 100% of what we give tonight is for the healing ministry here at Voice. And if you consider the works of the Lord, He is mighty to save indeed. And so as you give this evening, just the gifts, just the offerings, the Lord blesses. God is in a good mood, and we need to come before Him with a cheerful heart. So what we have here tonight, Lord Jesus, I bless the gift, I bless the giver, that what You have set for us, what You have purposed for us, we give to You gladly and cheerfully. We bless this, that it would be multiplied 100 times, so that Your kingdom is furthered, so that Your kingdom grows. We want to be partakers in Your kingdom, and I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
This one before. I just want to pray for the evening as we go on. We're not going to stop worship. We're going to keep worshiping and move along in mixing worship with ministry and speaking. We're going to try and do something a little bit different tonight, but I just felt led right now to pray for the service for the evening. And just what the Lord wants to do. Holy Spirit, we invite You here. We just invite Your presence. We love You, Lord. This is all about You. We worship You. We praise Your holy name. Jesus, we lift Your name on high. That You're a mighty God, that You love with an everlasting love. I just take authority right now over all distractions, every assault against this worship tonight, and this time of being before the Lord. I just cancel those assignments right now in Jesus' name, and I clear the air. Everything that is not of the Lord has to go now in Jesus' name. I just, God, we invite You. We invite Your full presence here tonight. I ask that You anoint this evening. We love You, God. We love You. Jesus, You're good. We love You. We thank You, God. We thank You for what You're going to do. We thank You that You're good. This is all about You and Your heart, Your love, Your great love for each and every person here. I pray, God, that they would have hearts that are open and that would see Your heart, that there would be a spirit-to-spirit connection tonight, heart-to-heart with the living God. Thank you. Touch every person in here. Every single person. Every one of you is facing something that you're desiring a touch from the Lord. You want Him to speak to your heart, or to your body, whether it's spiritual, physical, emotional. You're looking for a touch. And Lord loves. He's good at that. And so we're going to try and give Him place tonight. The title that I sort of came up with, Lord gave that to me a couple days ago, actually. It was, it takes one small stone to slay a giant. Every one of you have a giant in your life, or have had, or will have. Every single person in here has faced a giant. Some of them are bigger than others. Some of them stick around longer than others. Some of them seem impossible to come against. But we have a Jesus that wears the victor's crown. And I want to just share with you about David tonight. David, y'all know the story of David? Some of you. David was a man after God's heart. But before he was a man, he was a young boy when he was actually anointed king. But he didn't become king for several years after that. But David knew the Lord. He spent hours and hours in the fields with his father's flocks of sheep. And he was an expert musician, and he sang, but was before the Lord a lot. He had a lot of time on his hands. But the Israelites were up against the Philistines, and David was sent to check on his older brothers. He had three older brothers that were in this battle, and his father sent him to check, take them some food and to check on them. And David gets there, and he starts questioning, what's the problem? What's the problem? Why aren't we making any movement here? And they start telling him about the giant Goliath that's threatening all of them. And everybody's afraid to go up against him because he's so huge. That's just like our giants. They can look very big and overwhelming. And just like the rest of the Israelites, we stand there and tremble. But we're either going to tremble at the sight of our giant in fear, or we're going to tremble in awe before the living God, right? We need to make a choice. Who's going to cause us to tremble? The enemy wants you to tremble before him. He wants you to think that he's all powerful and he's the God of this world. He wants you to think that you're small and insignificant. So just like Goliath, he was threatening all the whole army. He was, send a man down here to get me. And they all looked very small compared to him. And nobody would go. But David, I just want to read this part to you. David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And he rose up against me, and I seized him by his beard and struck and killed him." What youth? I mean, David's a youth. He's not a grown man. Could grab the beard of a lion and hit him over the head with a club. I mean, that's supernatural. That moment was supernatural. David had no fear. He knew his God, and God was his might that day, his strength. And David said, "The Lord who delivered me." Let me back up here just a minute. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." David knew the living God, and he wasn't going to take it that a giant, no matter how big he was going to taunt the army of the living God. David knew who the Israelites were, but they didn't know. And guess what? Who's the army now? Who's the army now? We are. That's right. We're the army now. We need to learn how to stand up to our giants, not cower and tremble. Who's fighting for you? You need to remember, somebody's fighting for you. Someone who wears the victor's crown is fighting for you. You're not alone. You're not helpless. You're not weak. It's a lie. David has such confidence. "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." You go. No, I'm not going. You go. But David had confidence and Saul, okay, go, you know. Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head. And he clothed him with armor. David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And David took them off. That's man. So the armor to me represents man's wisdom on how to attack our giants. It's man's wisdom. You know, we try to figure things out and try to think of ways that we can attack our giants and come at them, you know, depending on what the giant is, we try and figure it out and we've got to find we strive with everything that we know to try and face our giants. And most of the time it doesn't work because we're using our wisdom or somebody else's wisdom that's not godly wisdom. They're telling you to fight with anger, or they're telling you to run in fear, or we hear the word cancer and we begin to cower, you know, or we hear somebody rising against us financially, financial disaster, and we tremble with, oh no, what can happen? You know, I could lose everything. So those kinds of things, we begin to reach and reach and reach for answers that are most of the time not God's wisdom. So David hadn't tested man's wisdom, and so therefore he chose not to trust it. It's not that the armor was too big, it's that he hadn't tested it. Not all of man's wisdom is bad, but we need to test it. Be careful who you listen to. Make sure they're speaking God's wisdom. So David took them off, and he took his stick in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistines. I got to thinking about those five smooth stones, and right away, my mind went to Ephesians chapter 6. And Ephesians chapter 6 is talking about the full armor of God, how we can put on the full armor of God so that the enemy cannot come against us. And I'm just going to read that scripture real quick here to you. And there are six things in this scripture that we're to put on. It says, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. That's number one. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's number two. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's three. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith. That's four. And you will be able to extinguish all the arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation. There's five. And the sling, that's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's a lot of symbolism in the Bible. And to me, that's just what this, you know, I have no clue that that's really what was going on there. But it really spoke to me that David had everything. So, you know, what's in our pouch? What do we put in our pouch? Do we have this? Do we have the five things that we need to stand up, to withstand the darts of the enemy? Are you, I would encourage you to study this out in Ephesians and get into those words and embrace them and get in there and eat them. Ephesians 6 is something you have to live. It's not something that you can put on. You can't pray armor on you. You could do that all day. And you'd go hoarse, and it would still be sitting on your table. is something you have to walk out and live. You have to be righteous, not just think about it or talk about it. You have to be saved. You have to have that helmet of salvation. You can't just act like you are. You have to be. It's all a matter of the heart, and what's in the heart determines on how you deal with your giant. Because when you have all this going on, it says that you can stand firm. You can stand firm and be confident in who God says you are and who He says He is for you. You're a we. The Spirit of God lives in you. You're a we. You're not alone. You're not alone. You have a mighty, mighty God that has conquered the world. He wears the victor crown. Then David said, his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And I'm going to skip a few verses. Goliath starts yelling at David and threatening him, and really, you know, he's really seriously full of himself. Talk about arrogance. This guy, that was his middle name, I think. He started just saying all kinds of things to David and trying to scare him. And then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted." Now, David knew that when you carry the name of God, that's the name of God. When you do things in the name of God, that means that the Holy of Holy, that God said, "Build me a place where my name can dwell." It's His presence. It's not just His name. His name carries His presence if you know it, if you know Him. So where David knew that he could act in the name of God because he was friends with God. Verse 47, it says, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. That's true of our battles. It is the Lord. It's His battle. Then it happened, when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. David didn't cower. When Goliath started coming towards him, he ran at him. He ran at him. Do we run at our giants? Or do we sit and cower in fear like the rest of, like his brothers and the king and all the other men? I can't imagine what that battle looked like. This little tiny David running to meet this big giant with zero fear in him. That's how confident we should be when we face our battles. We can have that kind of confidence. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. There was no battle. It was won. The minute David claimed the name of the Lord, it was done. The same is true for us. The same is true for us. In Deuteronomy 3, it says, Deuteronomy 19, verse 3 says, "Do not be faint-hearted." Several times David told the king, "Don't let the men be faint of heart. Don't let them do that." Once you start getting faint of heart, what happens? You start entertaining all kinds of doubt. And doubt and fear start to overtake you. And fear is seriously an excuse that justifies your doubts. So how confident are we in the God that we serve to win our battles, to face our giants? It says, do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them. Don't tremble before your giants. That which you behold, you give power to. So if you're beholding, if you're giving your giant place, if you're giving him, if you're trembling before him, fear empowers the enemy. So our gaze needs to be on the one who wears that victor's crown. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. He does. He fights for us. You can say, oh, well, but you don't know my battle. You don't know how bad this is. You don't know what I'm facing. And that's true. But there's giant, you know, in God's eyes, they're gnats. When people come into the healing rooms, I often tell them, and they'll tell me they have cancer, and I'll say, you know what? To God, that's no worse than a cold. It takes the same amount of power to heal cancer as it does a cold. And God has it. You know, I mean, it's no contest to him. I just want to, we're going to worship a little bit more. And then I want you to be thinking about what your giant is. And then we're going to start getting rid of those giants. We're going to slay the giant tonight. Right? Thank you. Let's everybody stand. And those of you that are facing a giant, I just invite you to come forward. As they're singing, I just invite you to come forward. We're gonna speak to that giant. We're gonna run and face him head on. So I just invite you as they're continue to sing to start coming forward. Emotional, I want you to come to this. Well, if your giant's emotional, come to this side. And if it's physical, come to this side. Emotional or spiritual, but if it's a physical issue, come over here. If it's both, yeah. And I just invite the healing team to come over here and start ministering on this side over here. But the rest of you, I just want to talk to you for a second. Emotional and spiritual giants, there's a reason that we agree with the giant. It sounds silly sometimes, and the reason can be weird. But there's a if you have this, say that your giant is depression. There's at a deep level down here somewhere. There's a reason that depression comes from woundedness. There's lots of things that go along with it, but down deep under all that, there's reasons, subconscious reasons that we agree with. With it on a certain level. Does that make sense? Like depression, or if you have overwhelming fear, or you have OCD issues, or those kinds of things, there's reasons that we come into agreement with them because they do something for us. There's a weird benefit to having it. So I want you to think about that. It can be, like if it's depression, it can be things like it feels good to be in that place of depression. It feels good. It's like a self-comfort sometimes. It can be a way of, I'm not trying to make this simplistic. I get the pain of depression. I've had it before. But there's the reason, the deep underlying reasons need to be broken, need to be given to the Lord. The same with fear. If you have fear issues, fear does something for you. Fear feels like it protects you. Worry, you know, if you have an issue with worry feels like you're doing something about it, or that you're going to be on your guard or something. Those kinds of things. Just picture yourself. Think about the benefits of whatever giant you're facing. Just think of the benefits. And then picture yourself standing before Jesus, before an altar. He's got an altar in front of him. and you offer up those benefits. Just set them on the altar. Just begin to set them there. You have to get, this is where you have to get real honest with yourself. No matter how weird it sounds, you have to get real honest. Just set those up there. Get a picture of what they look like. I've given the Lord boxes of worms before. They can be weird, but the and Father, and then be willing to release it, to take your hands off of those things and step back. And Father, as they do this, Lord, I ask that you take those things. And I ask that you begin to speak to their hearts. What would you like to give them in exchange, Lord? What's the benefit that you have for them?
Thank you.
Sometimes we get afraid to believe for the more. We get stuck in a rut, and we think that that's all there is, that God has for us, that it's not possible to move forward. We get weary, we get tired of fighting. We struggle with how to fight, but God has more. There is no limit to what God wants to do in each one of your lives. It's all about relationship with Him, and fighting it has to come from a place of rest. When you know the one. You know God's character. You have to know Him, His character, because He's a God of peace. And so embrace the word where it says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. So when your mind is stayed on the enemy, you're so not going to feel peace, right? But when it's stayed on Jesus, you're going to be in perfect peace. There is not anything that should rob your peace. And when I talk about those things, I'm not being simplistic. I have my own battles. I've shared them with you. And they're hard. You know, you don't live 61 years and not have some serious battles that you've worked through. But every single one of those battles, and the one that I'm fighting now, me in perfect peace. You know, I may have my moments of struggle, but they're moments. It's really true that God wants us to know His might, His strength, and that's the place that we battle from. His wisdom. He wants to impart those things. So if you feel like you're not getting anywhere, you're stuck, if you're afraid to believe for the more, if you think that God will use everybody else but not me, those kinds of things, I want you to come forward. Those less than thinking, poverty thinking, when you're thinking in poverty, you have I'm not good enough, I'll never excel at anything, I can't do this, God's never going to use me. He'll use everybody but me. I so can relate to that one. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes I feel sorry. I have felt sorry for the Lord because He's had to just really weed that out of me, that poverty mindset. Even in your day-to-day life, you think, I've come this far, but I can't seem to move farther. So this is probably as far as I can go with the Lord, you know. If you have that kind of thing, I want you to come forward. If you feel stuck, just feel like there's something's hindering you from stepping out and being victorious. Because Jesus wants to share that victor's crown with you, right? Come on.